Ephesians chapter number 4. As we continue in our worship, we want to spend some concentrated time in this section of His Word. Ephesians 4, our text for the day is verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But first, we need to remember the context. Verses 20 through 24 is one sentence, and it's in response to what took place that he discusses in verses 17 through 19. So all of these things are tied together, and we need to remember that as we work through each of its parts. In verses 17 through 19, remember, he confronted those in the church who were living a worldly lifestyle. They lived too much like the world around them. That reduces the influence of the believer's light and their salt upon the world. And they are characterized, as he describes them, as having a vain mind. That was the problem. And if it didn't get corrected in them, if they didn't repent and recover from this, he describes a very dark and destructive path that they will go down if they continue to have a vain mind like the world around them. And so he assumes that these who are being rebuked and confronted, they're carnally minded members of the church at Ephesus, that he believes that they are believers. He assumes, makes that assumption as we have worked out our text. But not knowing for sure, he challenges them to pause and to think about what they've been taught, and to see that you cannot be worldly minded, a vain thinker, and have truly been taught the things of God. They are just incongruent. They don't match up. And so in verses 20 through 21, a part of his initial response, he reminds them that the sound doctrine that they have received about the person and work of Christ teaches us to live and to walk worthy of our calling and to live after the lifestyle of Jesus and not that of the world. Jesus has taught us by his own example. He has sort of brought all of the truths of Christology to life in his own life. When he lived out the putting off of the flesh, as we studied some weeks ago. He then makes sure that we understand his analogy here, as he has given it to us in verses 20 and 21, his comparison that he is making between, on the one hand, the sound doctrine and the life of Jesus compared to our conduct. But just in case they may have missed his analogy, he goes on to spell it out in greater detail. So in order for us to walk worthy, we must learn and practice these three steps that are given to us here in verses 22, 23, and 24. Steps that help to produce worthy walking. Walking that is consistent with our calling that has been given to us. A lifestyle that is consistent with our call. And so we have three steps here that help us toward this worthy walk. Three steps that help us put away that carnal mind and worldly mindedness. And we have considered one so far a couple of weeks ago, which is found in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, mannerisms, behaviorisms, attitudes of the old man. You be put them off. We've considered the challenges in that. Putting off the old man, which is corrupt. And so like garments, he's sort of picturing this here, that our old life has a lot of stinky, old, dirty garments that we need to shed, we need to get rid of, we need to be committed to this action as a beginning of our new life. And so we put off the old man, our old nature, ways, in contrast to our new man or our new life, our new nature, which is born in us when we are raised from spiritual death. So we put off the old. When putting off the old, we considered several things when we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Putting off is the same as what Jesus said, take up your cross. Well, anytime you take up your cross and deny yourself, the whole image and the emblem of the cross is that of dying to the flesh. And Jesus told us that we are to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. And Paul taught this as well in many other places besides here in his other letters. In Galatians 5:24, he mentions this. Look at that with me. A couple of references before we move forward this morning. Look at Galatians 5 and verse 24. We have this putting off described here similarly to what Jesus said, and they that are Christ's, right? You belong to him. You are one who's heard his call. You are one who has been discipled by him, as Paul describes it. They that are Christ's, you belong to him, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And so this is something that is going on if you belong to Christ. Jesus said it, take up your cross. Paul is saying it in a similar way, and he does so in numerous parts of his letters. So if we've heard, go back to Ephesians 4 and 21, he says, if you have truly heard Christ, you have ears to hear him, and if you've been taught by him, that is, you've actually sat at the feet of Christ when the word of God is opened, and you have been discipled by him, you cannot follow the mindset of the world. You have not learned Christ. This is not congruent. This is not something you can blend and say it works. It doesn't. If you're Christ's, then you have put these things off. You have crucified, willingly taken up this activity of putting to death the actions and the deeds of the flesh with all of its attitudes and its passions that are out of sort with the will of God. And so this is something that every member is to do. Every member is to think this way in the body of Christ. Sound doctrine teaches us to put off the old man, as Jesus exemplified putting it off. And this is urgent business, Paul describes, because the old man is corrupt. And the idea here, it is constantly decaying. I can tell you, at 72 years of age, I have a better mind of understanding of the corruptness of my old nature than I did at 32. I would think that I would be in a place of life where it would not be nearly as obvious to me of the risks and dangers of my old nature. But the truth is, it is corrupting more and more. I can sense the evil that is there that we cannot get rid of. It requires not less spiritual energy in my life to manage it at 72. It requires more energy to manage it. If you think that you're going to progress and it's going to get easier, you're deceived. Our old natures are corrupting. And that's the reason we need to be actively putting these things off. Putting them off, the old man which is corrupt, corrupting more and more according to the deceitful lusts. And so these are things that we must be actively engaged in this morning as the body of Christ. We all must be committed to this task. And the second step that he gives here in marching toward this desirable image of walking worthy is that we must also be renewed. So we have, there are three imperatives here in these three steps, right? Put off, be renewed, put on. These are directives that are given to us as members of the body of Christ. So I want to work out the information here in verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm going to do it just a little bit differently this morning, just to create some variation in how we approach a particular thing. It's not going to be different in our gathering of information and the results we reach, but just a little different in its approach. I'm going to use something that I think most of you are aware of, and it's a helpful Bible study method referred to as the inductive Bible study method. You're probably familiar with that. They even have Bibles called inductive Bibles for Bible study method. And anyone can use this method. When I taught about a year or two ago on a Saturday series of classes of Bible study methods, we spent some time trying to break this down, understanding inductive, deductive, and so forth. It's a part of a process whereby we study God's Word to become more effective in our methods of study. When you think of this approach, the inductive, there's a series of questions that we're going to ask verse 23 to give us some answers to. That's sort of the inductive method. We're trying to induce or bring out information, and that involves taking with us everything we already know before we got here in our study, and causing it to help us induce clarity as we come to this particular verse. I'll give you the six questions initially that we're going to ask verse 23, and then we're going to go back and look at them in a little more detail. But first, you ask verse, we know what? What's this about? What are we looking at here? The question what is an important question. We already know that Paul is giving us directives. He's giving us applications. He's exhortations. Things that we must do. We're in that text. We already know that coming to verse 23. And so we know that we're in this process of a three-step process to help us walk worthy and to keep us managed in our mind concerning the world around us. So we ask the question, what is the directive in verse 23? What is it? Well, it's simple. Be renewed. That's the directive. Another question we will ask is where is this directive to take place? Well, we have it in our text as well. It is to be taken place, worked out in the spirit of the mind. That's where. The third question we would ask is when? When is this directive to be done? When? Well, it's not explicitly stated here, we know that, but it begins with the new life. All the time from that moment on, we are to be pursuing this directive. Be renewed. The fourth question we ask is, to whom is this directive addressed or given? And we have with clarity here, as he starts in verse 22, and you, plural, he's writing to the whole church. And again in verse 23, your mind, plural, he's writing to the whole church. So to whom is this directive, be renewed, to be applied? Every believer in the church, male or female, young and old, all who profess Christ are to be renewed. It's for all of us. We also ask why. Why involves the reasons for being renewed. And we'll look at some of those in a moment. And the sixth question is important also. It's how. How do we, as members of the church, actually renew our minds? How do we do that? What does that look like? And so our research of this particular text we have here is being guided in our research by this inductive way of approaching it this morning. But there's also a deductive part of this process. And when we use the word deductive, we're indicating that when we go into this particular text, we are going to have to pull out certain things that are there, that are hidden, not on the surface of the text. And so deductive means that we do an analysis of all the words and phrases that are there to make sure we've opened them all up. So between the inductive and the deductive, we reach conclusions that are right. That's Bible study. And to have an effective Bible study, if you're going to be serious about Bible study, this is the way, the kind of style that needs to be used. So we must know and understand every word in our text, the meaning, the usage, the literal, the figurative, its relationship to what precedes and what follows, that scope and sequence that takes place. This is the work that goes into an effective study of the Bible. Examination is essential to interpretation. And the right interpretation is necessary to proper applications. And through Paul, the Holy Spirit teaches us this particular method of how we reach the right interpretation. So you can read the Bible profitably, and I think we all do sitting down and reading, but the benefit of your reading the Bible hinges on what you already know before you get there. Because if you really don't understand what you're reading, you haven't gained much. So the more you grow in your study and understanding of the Word of God, when you open the Bible and say, I'm going to read a chapter a day, the benefit of that chapter is hinged to everything you knew and have gathered before you got there. This is a very critical process. It's why we tend to be so tedious in our efforts to teach you God's Word, as we understand that responsibility that every teacher has been given. There are no exemptions to teachers. All teachers must study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. And so whoever teaches the Word of God has that mandate, that requirement, that obligation, that duty hovering over them as they study. Study. You know, that idea that Paul is referring to when he speaks to Timothy means to make haste to your task as a workman. Get to your task as a workman, one who labors for the benefit of the church and to receive God's approval. Pretty serious to be a teacher. And so for that reason, we have to be committed to studying the Bible. We just can't be people who just kind of glance at it and lightly work through it and read it. We need to be students of God's Word. And so why am I saying all of this about our text here in verse 23? Because we choose to study thoroughly so that we can gather all the important information from a text so that you'll be fully persuaded of the truth and its application to your life. And as that is done, we relieve ourselves of accountability and yours increases. If we don't do our part, the accountability becomes even more heavy here, and yours diminishes. So as we do our part, we relieve ourselves in the presence of God by being diligent students of His Word. We add to your weight and burden of what you're going to do with the Word that you have received. So, answering these six questions this morning, it's a long way around to get to it, but I wanted to make sure we understand the importance of why we do certain things the way that we do them. I'll summarize the information which is intended to aid us in our application concerning this second directive that is given by the apostle here in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What does this mean? Be renewed. This is the directive. Be renewed. Well, what does that mean? We notice the connection initially, don't we, with the first directive. Put off and be renewed. That's important the way these flow here, because one starts and then we have and then the third one and it's indicating a very close-knit function, a mechanism that has three gears all turning connected together at the same time. And be renewed. These three steps are designed to help us manage our old man, and all three steps must work together if we are going to advance as we are being exhorted here to do so, to walk worthy. All three must work together in our life this morning so that we can walk worthy more effectively and become greater contributors to a healthy body life. Renewed. This verb speaks of a continuous action that is going on. At the same time, we are doing renovation work while we're putting off, we're renovating our life, our mind. Renewed means simply remodel, reprogram. This is what the directive is telling us to do. To renew. And this is a lifelong project. It's a lifelong work. And it will take time. There is no quick fix to renewing the mind. It will take a lot of energy. And over the years, your energy will not get less. It will become even more. To keep renewing the mind. And we must follow the plan, the blueprint for doing so, which will come out as we work through these. So, what is this directive? It is be renewed. And what does it mean? It means that we must be engaged in a process of reprogramming our mind. Whatever that means, we haven't defined it yet, but that's the directive. And where does this renewing and renovating and reprogramming take place? Well, the directive tells us it's to take place in your mind. Every one of you have a mind. It is in your mind where the renewing is to occur. The remodeling is to go on. We become, according to this phrase of Paul, in the spirit of your mind, we become more spiritual as we renew our mind. He is referring to spirituality in your mind. And every member in the church has a mind, and we are all responsible for the spiritual health of our own mind. We are all responsible for putting into the mind the information that makes our mind think like a spiritual mind. That's just not going to happen. We have a particular responsibility to make sure it does. The renewal of our mind, so that we think like spiritual men and spiritual women. This is everyone's personal responsibility. Ye members must put off, and ye all members must be renewed in your mind. The mind receives information. It cultivates our affections. We heard some of this presented this morning in the good study with Noah on the knowledge of God. The mind, it receives, it gathers the information, and it cultivates our affections, and together they direct our actions to change behavior. We must reprogram the mind, or in the words of the wise man, we must remember, as a man thinketh, so is he. There is a natural syncretism, a fusion between the mind, the emotions, and the will. Actions come from the mind and the affections. Therefore, the focus of this directive is on the continual renovating of the mind. He took time to make that a specific directive. Very important. The scriptures sometimes combine the mind and the affections and refer to these inner workings as our heart. And again, the wise man said to keep the heart with all diligence, because life flows, all of our actions flow from our heart, our inner being. And therefore, we must keep guard, we must watch over our mind and our affections. And it all begins with the mind. So what is the directive here? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We must all be actively engaged in the remodeling of our life. And where is this remodeling done? It is in your mind. And all of us must be developing a spiritual mind. We would also consider, well, when should this be going on, this renewing in the spirit of our mind? When should this happen? When should it take place? Well, when should we start the renovation? The answer is from the moment we are born again until we leave our old man and enter into the presence of God. So the answer to when is now. Now. When do you begin the remodeling of your mind? It's now. You should have said that yesterday. Yesterday was now. The day before then was now. Tomorrow will be now. This is an ongoing daily responsibility that we have. If we desire to fulfill our mission on behalf of the interest of God in this world and to walk worthy as His people, we must be renovating now. This is not something we put off. We'll get to later. No. We must do it now. Today the mind must be reprogrammed. Today we must put truth into our mind. Today we must submit to the truth by faith. Today we must cultivate a spiritual mind. And every day you get out of bed, you should be thinking, what am I doing today? I am renewing my mind and putting off the old. That's a daily task. Maybe at noon when you pause for lunch, a break from work, you remind yourself, when should I be reprogramming my mind? Now. We also look at this directive and we ask, well, the question is, to whom is this directive given? It's being suggested as we work through it, isn't it? It's to every member in the body of Christ. Everyone is responsible today. No exemptions are given to any member. Regardless of your health, your gender, your age, conditions of your life that brought you to this place, no one is exempt this morning from this duty of renewing the mind. And why? We ask, why is this such an important directive? We must respond to this directive. Why? Why is it given to the church, this directive, to every member? Why deals with reasons? This could be developed into some very lengthy answers, but I'll keep it brief. Why should we follow the will of God in this directive? Why? The answer, we probably could go right back to verse 1 of chapter 4. We are to honor God who called us to this special life. We are to honor Him. Walk worthy. Walk in a manner that shows you understand how great your call is. You have been called by God. Few and far in between enjoy that gift of the call of God upon their life. Think of it. How will you honor Him for that calling that He has given to you? And so a reason for why we should be committed to renewing of our mind is because it brings honor and glory to our great God and the Redeemer. Look at Romans 12 briefly, if you would. Just reflect on this from another passage, another angle. Romans 12. In verses 1 and 2, we have again Paul's movement of doctrine towards application. He inserts a few applications in chapters 1 through 11 where it is appropriate, but generally the bulk of his applications begin right here in chapter 12. And here he is focusing on the summation of all that he said about God and what He has done in His loving kindness toward a people who do not deserve it. And he sums it all up here for us. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I call upon you to respond to what you have just learned, brethren, concerning the mercies of God. I compel you by those mercies. I challenge you to respond, knowing the mercies that God has provided for you, that you do these things. And he outlines it, that you present your bodies, you take your life, and you continually, habitually practice the presentation of your life to Him, like a sacrifice that is being offered. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, your reasonable response to the mercies of God. Why should we be concerned about how our minds think and function. It affects everything about us, our affections, our actions. Why is it important? Because it reflects back upon the God who has given you His call and a great degree of mercy. So therefore, we ought to respond by giving ourselves unto Him. It's a reasonable service. And he goes into more detail here about what that looks like. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how does that happen? By the renewing of your mind. There is no way that you can change into what God wants for your life apart from this discipline, this directive, renew the mind. You must do it. It is by the renewing of the mind that we are transformed. That's a pretty dramatic expression of caterpillar to butterfly metamorphosis kind of thing. That's the Greek word used here. And what a dramatic change occurs from the old to the new. But we cannot do that without consideration of the renewing of our mind. And this is how the transformation of God begins to take hold of our life and change us dramatically, so that you might prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So why is it important? Answering the why of our text, why is this directive so important? Well, God's honor, God's glory is tied up in our response. And if we want to live well, we must renew our mind. And finally, how is this done? We understand the directive. We understand the parts of it. We've sought to answer all the questions that are important to draw and induce information so that we can come to a right conclusion. So it's good to ask, well, how do we go about doing this then? How do we actually renew our minds? The directive is clear. But how do we reprogram our mind? Sunday school tied in really well with this, Noah. Good job. Yeah. I was really blessed by that. So how do we reprogram our minds? There must be a plan for doing this. And generally speaking, we can say that Paul has already given us the plan. And we must continually put into our mind the sound doctrine. Paul did the plan. What was the plan? He taught them the truth. He put the truth into their mind. That's how you reprogram. That's how you reprogram bad doctrine. That's how you reprogram bad behavior. Truth must go into the mind. And then we have the option, a decision to make. What are we going to do with the truth that we've just received? Are we going to submit to it, obey it, respond to it properly? Or are we going to make excuses, push it off, and continue to live the way we've been living? And so we must continue to put into our mind sound doctrine that is taught to us in the Scriptures. And so we, as Paul has taught before he gets to his application section, we must learn Christ. We must hear the teachings of the Word. We must be taught of Christ, as he says, or be thoroughly discipled by the Word. We must know and understand the truth as it is taught to us through the example of Jesus and the physical life he lived of putting off the old, the flesh. And it is this information that is intended to produce the process that we have here in verses 22 through 24. So how do we reprogram the mind? By putting into the mind new and better information for us to think on. A great parallel thought here is in Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 28 here as we come to our conclusion in just a moment. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, we have some wisdom of Paul here in this verse that we can't explore at all, but a few things that relate to the how we reprogram our mind. He speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and a lot of other doctrines that kind of are woven to throughout the verses here in chapter 1. He comes to the end of this and he says in verse 28, whom we preach. One of the methods of God, maybe the primary method of God for counseling you, will be through preaching. Preaching. He says, whom we preach, warning every man. There's that Greek word that we transliterate into English, nouthetic, which is a popular form of Christian counseling. And sort of inspired by J. Adams, I suppose, 40, 50 years ago. But it denotes the idea that counseling involves putting truth into the mind. That's how you counsel people. You put the truth into the mind. Paul says he preaches to do that. I preach to do that. And through the preaching of the word, the mind is reprogrammed. The truth is entering in. It is dislodging wrong thoughts, bad ideas, incorrect thinking, and it's putting new things in mind that are in harmony with God and His will concerning us. Whom we preach, warning every man, indoctrinating them, putting the truth into them, teaching, kind of the whole process here, that didaskalia, the whole discipleship program of the Christian life. Preaching is intended to accomplish that, so that we may present every man complete and perfect in Christ Jesus. So why is this important, this directive, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Well, it's for the glory of God. And how do we do this? We do. It's a very simple thing. God is not complicated. He has outlined steps and procedures in His Word that are easily discernible, understandable, that we can apply to our life. Nothing complicated here. Want to change the way you live? Change the way you think. How do you do that? Put the truth into your mind, and it will produce the right kind of thinking. So renovating the mind to think spiritually in every area of our life is not easy and goes on throughout our journey as pilgrims in this world. We must listen to the truth, and the truth will set us free. And remember when Paul in Philippians in chapter 4, he's dealing with the church struggling in a very difficult season of its life during some war-torn areas of the Philippian church, and much suffering has occurred. And he's trying to help them recover their joy and rejoice in the good things that God has provided for them. And one of the leading things he says to them is, you need to put your mind on the right things. So let's start thinking the right way, right? Chapter 4, verse 8. Put your mind on these things. And he gives a long list of things we need to begin to think about. And they're all very instructive about thinking rightly. Get your mind off all the bad things and the negative things and begin to think rightly. This is how you change conduct and behavior. You can scold people and tell them they should do something, but until they get the truth in the mind, it's not going to register. It's not going to resonate with them. Let me look at 2 Corinthians. Almost there. Be patient. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. You can see as we're looking at this how it's done. How do we fulfill this directive, this mandate? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 3, Paul writes, "For we, though we walk in the flesh, we live in physical bodies, we do not war after the flesh." This is not where our true war is taking place. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about the mind. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." It can be done. He has provided the means to do it. And it's what Christ has accomplished for us. So, yeah, this is what we're doing. We're putting into the mind the truth, and that truth is going to provide us with weaponry and strength and power to begin to tear down wrong thinking patterns in us. But you can't do that in and of yourself. It's got to come from the Word of God that you have submitted to by faith and are practicing in your life. So God's provision for us to do this work of putting off and being renewed in our mind has been accomplished and stored up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And by faith, we can lay hold of these things. And even as he said at the end of chapter 3, "Now unto him that is able to fill us with all the fullness of God." That's what all the doctrine comes to, this closing intercessory prayer. That the truth that he has taught them would lay hold of them in a powerful way. And he encourages them with this statement: "God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you ever ask or think he can do, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And therefore unto him be glory in the church." So God is able to help us do this. So how do we renew the mind? Truth is the key. Truth brings conviction, does it not? You put into your mind the things that you know you ought to be doing, even if you don't find conviction for what is wrong with our thinking and our actions. Truth will produce the conviction. The Spirit of God will use it forcefully in your life. It becomes the sword of the Spirit in our life. Truth is the key. We must keep the truth. We must be bold and courageous and unafraid to challenge our life with the truth. If we shun it, we're going to remain right where we're at. We must be courageous with the truth. And I can say through experience, there's times, some things you really don't want to go too far with in improvement. You're sort of satisfied with where you're at. But then you think, no, I can't be satisfied. I cannot stay here. So, what's the solution? That's the solution. Take the truth of what God has said that confronts those matters in my life and bring me to a place of convicting my life. And pray every day. I'm still struggling to do it, God. I'm still struggling to take the next step. But I will not concede. I will not say it doesn't matter. I surrender again every day until that conviction in your life means more to you than the gratification of the thing that you want to do. And so we must continue to hear and to read and to study and to memorize and to meditate on the Word of God. This is how we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. It's a directive that every one of us is responsible for. But left to ourselves, we cannot achieve it. But put the truth into your mind. And through God's Word and Spirit, He will bring about conviction, and that will lead to change. And we will then begin to strive in a more consistent manner with what walking worthy of our calling ought to look like. Father, take your word, I pray, and help us to be reminded of this directive. Every morning that we get up, not only must we embrace the idea of putting off, but we must also be committed to being renewed. We must be committed to letting the Word of God rule supremely in our life so that we might be able to pull down strongholds in our mind that have lived there far too long and ruled over the territory of our thinking that actually is to be brought under the rule of Christ. So help us as we take this bold and courageous step this morning. Now, it's now that we must be renewed. Help us, Father, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.